Morning.
Morning.
I'm AJ and I'm an addict.
Hey.
I really don't like this mic. When I threw my hat in the ring to be speaker at this, I originally told Jim I wanted to be the first speaker and be honored if they chose me to be the introductory speaker. And Jim was like, oh, you want to be the main speaker? No, that's not what I said, Jim. But then I thought about it. I was like, no, there's not going to pick me. I don't have enough clean time. I haven't been in the program long enough. I haven't been in CA long enough. And then my higher power's like, ha, ha, you're speaking. So here I am today. My clean date is, and I use the term clean. I started in NA, that's why I use the term clean. It means sober, so when I say clean, I mean sober. Free of any mood-altering substances. My clean date is March 21st of 2021. I am not gonna go through my entire career of active addiction. What you guys should know is that I used from the time I was 15 years old till I was 35. I will bring up two highlights that always come to mind near the end of my active addiction. In 2019, this is how sick I was. I moved to the worst neighborhood in Racine, West Lawn, if you guys know where that is. So I could be across the street from my dealer. I had no business in that neighborhood. I could afford much nicer, but I wanted to be within shouting distance of my dealer. Literally right across the street. March, or Thanksgiving of 2020 is where I realized that I really, really had a problem. I was at a family function, my aunt's house in Elkhorn, and I was lying to my family and I had told them that I had gotten sober, as I have a Diet Coke can in my hand filled with vodka with cocaine dissolved in it. And I kept filling that the entire time. I knew they knew, but I didn't care. That was the power of my disease. And I'm sitting there at the Thanksgiving dinner table, surrounded by family, surrounded by people who love me, full of guilt, looking at all these people that I had taken advantage of, that I had stolen money from, that I'd used on their dime, that had been there for me my entire active addiction, that I did not have a good relationship with, not because they disdained me or disliked me, but because I had been lying to them for 2 decades. So that's when the guilt crept in. And I continued to use after that because it wasn't enough. January of 2021, or December of 2020, I knew I had to get clean, and I tried. I made it a little more than 2 months on my own, and stopped everything. Stopped drinking, stopped using. I even stopped smoking at the time, and it didn't work. Like I said, a little after 2 months, I went to a party, and I was off to the races again. Shortly after that, I had my last overdose. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I'd gotten back from a party. I was standing against the wall in my ghetto apartment after having just picked up at 3 a.m. from my dealer. And this was a bad batch. I don't have to go into details. And my heart is beating at 200 beats per minute. At the same time, my body is shutting down. I'm leaning against the wall next to my bathtub. And I knew I was gonna die at that point. I knew I was done, I'd given up. Well, the next morning I wake up in the hospital and I'm still alive. And the doctor said to me, he's like, there is enough fentanyl in your system to kill you. He's like, what's keeping you alive right now is the cocaine. And I'm like, Jesus. The next day I walked into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I have not used since that day. I was terrified. I was terrified of what my disease had done, how much damage it had done to my life, my relationship with my family, my jobs. I was 35 years old, and I had to move back in with my parents because I had lost everything. I had lost a house. I had lost a fiance before that many years prior. I lost quite a bit because of this disease. But I need to remember that this is not a moral failing. I have a disease, and I'm treating a disease. So I walk into my first meeting. I remember the first face I see. A lot of people know the name Kenny Zilke. A lot of people in this room know him. His first face I met, first hug I received, and I recoiled. I was like, oh my God, why are you hugging me? Because I didn't understand the program at that point. He gave me the longest reading, how it works, and he's like, read this. It's my first meeting, I'm reading it. And as I'm reading, I'm stopping, and I'm looking down at it, and I'm looking back up, and I'm like, well, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that. And he's like, just read it. Kenny is still my friend to this day. And he, first face I saw, and the face that'll stay with me forever, because he was the first guide I had in recovery. It took me about 6 months to get a sponsor. I was very picky choosy until another good friend of mine who lives in Florida now, I didn't want to pick a sponsor because I could never, I ran into a bunch of heroin addicts and meth addicts and alcoholics, and my drug of choice is cocaine. It was the number one. I mean, the other things were there, like Monica, I was a trash can. I can say I never did heroin, but everything else, yes. My friend Tony, I was like, I'm really having trouble picking a sponsor because I can't find someone who has the same drug of choice. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I haven't found someone who has the history that I have with cocaine. And he's like, we all have the same drug of choice. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, it's more. And I was like, oh, eye-opening. Like, I don't have to have a sponsor who's a cocaine addict. Today I do. My first sponsor wasn't. And so that sticks with me. I like to say, like the last time, couple times I spoke at NA events, I opened with, and this is how far the program, I have come in the program, thanks to my sponsor. And Rusty is the one who truly is teaching me how to be humble, because Rusty has a ton of humility. We both have huge egos, but Rusty has an ability to put it in check. I am learning to put it in check. Every time I spoke, I used to start with, step 7 says we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings, our higher power, your God, whoever that is. And I would say I'm constitutionally incapable of being humble, because I am. My biggest flaw, my biggest shortcoming is I have to be the smartest person in the room. And that has hurt my recovery in this 3 years and a couple weeks. I have let arrogance get in the way. I know better. I am always the one who has to question, I'm severely logical. And everything has to be overanalyzed and overquestioned. And my girlfriend who's sitting in this room can tell you, like, the other day, she got mad at me for something, and she dropped it in 5 minutes. But I held on to that for 3 weeks. I had to hyperanalyze. I had to be like, oh my God, what did I do wrong here? What did she see? What was this? What was this? Why did this happen? And that's just who I am as a person. I'm learning as I keep coming back to settle down. But that's how sick I am. Someone else got mad at me, dropped it, and I'm the motherfucker holding a grudge for 3 weeks. Like, really? So, like I said, I struggle with ego. I'm going to struggle with ego until the day that I die, but my higher power is helping me put it in check. I'm constantly either going to the top extreme of ego or the bottom extreme of ego, and questioning things in the program. And that's not necessarily a bad thing until it becomes an I'm not that addict, I'm not that bad, or they didn't have it as bad as I did, they don't understand. Either way, it's ego. It's setting myself apart, and for the first couple years of my recovery, I did that all the time. It hurt me a lot. Today, thanks to this room, thanks to CA, thanks to a great sponsor, the hope, faith, and courage comes in, and it's able to put my ego in check. Probably a year and a half in recovery, and I use this with my sponsees. There's a difference between, I was asked, do you want to stay clean, sober, or do you want to get better? Because our literature says alcohol is but a symptom of our disease. Like Monica said, I was an addict before I ever had my first drop, before I ever did my first line. And I was addicted to being better than everybody else, whether it was athletics or academics or, like I said, my addiction is having to be the best. So that played out in to I can do more cocaine than you can. And it almost killed me multiple times. And I was addicted to more. Today, like I said, I'm really working on humility. My other huge flaw is anger. I get angry at things that I shouldn't. I hold on to things. I hold grudges. I form resentments. I constantly have to work steps 4 and 10. Today I'm learning to promptly admit it. A good friend who's sitting in this room introduced me to a writer who talks about the 12 steps and the relationship to the gospel. And my higher power is the Christian God. I don't claim to be Christian by any means. I got out of that. I was raised in the faith. I'm still not there to walk back into a church yet, but I do use that as my higher power. And he gave me a book, and this is my favorite quote in that book. And these are the only genuine ideas, the ideas of the shipwrecked. All the rest is posturing, rhetoric, and farce. And I take that to mean the only reason that I know the things I know today is because I lost everything, because I walked into these rooms, because my higher power introduced me to the power of 12-step programs and how they can save lives. In the 12x12, and this is where I still struggle, and this is in step 7. Whole lifetime of self-centeredness cannot be set in reverse all at once. Rebellion grabs our every step at first. The addict the addict I thought I put behind me still has to jump out of nowhere and fuck things up. About a year and a half into recovery, I had gotten the monkey off my back, and I let the gorilla jump on. I picked a new addiction. I didn't pick it. My disease picked it for me, and it ruined my life all over again, and that was sports gambling. I was losing money hand over fist, because ego. I'm going to win. I know better. I know these spreads. I know this sport. I can do it, and I lost a house because of it. And I can happily say that that is behind me, but I had to apply these principles to that part of my disease because my disease is everything. I was spending more money on gambling than I ever spent on cocaine. And I had to start all over again. And what frightens me, and this is why I have to keep coming back and why I have to reach out to my sponsor and why I have to talk to you guys, is because, like our literature says, alcohol is but a symptom of disease. My disease will latch on to anything. And it'll make it worse than the drugs ever were, because gambling could kill me. Video games could kill me. Masturbation could kill me. Like, anything can become in excess. See, I know. Eventually,
one of
right. See, they knew where that came from. My disease does not question what it is. It'll make it an addiction. And so I have to be careful, and that's why I constantly have to ask God to remove my shortcomings, because I'll get stuck in a shortcoming, I'll get stuck in a resentment, and then I will use that, or my disease will use that to make excuses and justification and rationalization, and it'll find something else. I bought a Powerball ticket the other day, and I felt so guilty. I was like, this could turn into something. It didn't. Thank God my higher power stepped in and put that check in my head. Otherwise, I could go right back to money hand over fist. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to start over at nothing again. I've hit my rock bottom. I don't need to do that again. I need to continue to work this program so that doesn't happen again. Today, I have an amazing partner. I have an amazing kid in my life. I have an amazing relationship with my family. I have a great sponsor. I have so many friends in this program. I have people I can turn to. Because I worked these steps, and I worked these traditions, and my higher power helped me to stay in these rooms. I didn't discover CA until about 6 months into recovery. Someone told me the meeting was close to my house, and I checked it out. I didn't know that. I only knew AA and NA. I didn't know that there were tailored 12-step programs. And I know this. Like we say, this is about any mood-altering, mind-changing substance, but most of the people in this room understand more what I'm going through than if I were to go to an AA or an NA meeting. And I won't stop going to those meetings. I'm not picky when it comes to 12 steps. The 12 steps and 12 traditions are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. They work no matter what your addiction is. And no, 12 steps is not for everybody. I've found people who find recovery in other ways. For me, this is what I need. My program is rigid, dogmatic, and if it's not in here, it's hard for me to use it. But that also got me in trouble. I shared at a meeting last night about how if it's not in the literature, I can't accept it. But today I'm learning that so much of this program is based on experience. If I don't listen to the people around me and what they've been through and what they have to share, then I'm learning nothing. I can, like Rusty said, I can tell you everything there is to know about the traditions. I can tell you the history, where they came from, the ins and outs of tradition 8, and no one wants to hear that. I mean, somebody might want to sit down. Bob, he might want to sit down and have a conversation. But I think that's the only one in this room. In order to save lives, they want to hear our experience. They want to hear what we've gone through, what we've done, what the people around us have done to save our lives. And yes, our traditions are important. Our concepts are important. Without the steps, though, and without the experience of everybody else in these rooms and their experience in the steps, we have nothing. And I have nothing without this program. There was reading this morning, and I read it when I woke up, and it's very fitting for me speaking today, and if you guys don't mind, it does come out of NA. I apologize for that, but it's applicable at CA. We don't have to deny reality to have hope or gratitude. We feel what we feel. We do the footwork anyway. I may feel shitty some days. I may feel arrogant. I may feel heady. I may feel scared, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to reach out to someone in this room or work the steps or call Joe or call Rusty or call Bob when I need something, or turn to my significant other who's also an addict in recovery and say, hey, I'm struggling, I'm feeling really shitty about something, and I need help. Needing help is what my higher power used to guide me into 12-step programs. And I still need help every day. I have a disease that's incurable, but it's very treatable. Today, I am grateful to NA and CA, it's 12-step in general, because they did save my life. And every one of you in this room saved my life. You save my life every day. I can't move forward in life. I can't continue to get better unless I continue to work this program and reach out to you guys. You guys give me the hope, faith, and courage that I need to move on in life. You guys give me the hope, faith, and courage I need to continue to stay clean. Without you, without CA, without other 12-step programs, I'm a wreck. And so I'm grateful to you all for that. I'm grateful to speak here today. And with that, I wish you all another 24, and I pass.